Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. The Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast starts now.
Thanks for joining us for another Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. Walter Storholt here with you alongside David Lee of Mach 1 Financial Group. And David, you having a good week so far?
Doing great. How about you, Walter?
Yeah, doing really well. Looking forward to our conversation today. We are picking up with part two of how couples screw up their retirement. If you happen to miss part one, you can go back and listen to it at any time you'd like. You don't have to listen to part one before you listen to part two. It's not like a movie sequel where you really need to know the previous story. We're just going through some different examples of mistakes that couples often make. We'll get to our third point. We covered two last week. We'll get to the third one coming up in a moment, but we'll get to a quick listener question here before we get back to talking about couples screwing up their retirement. Let's go to Woody, who's got a question from Centerton, and Woody says, I have a stockbroker that I've worked with for 30 years, long before I even moved here. I like him very much, and I think he does a great job, but I really have no way of actually knowing. How can I grade his performance?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think that's something that a lot of investors struggle with, about how to know how to grade their advisor. One easy way, or one common way, I should say, is that a lot of times folks will grade their investment performance relative to a benchmark such as the S&P 500 index. And so, for example, if the S&P goes up 10% and you're up 5%, then a client may think, oh, well, my advisor's doing a bad job. Well, that's not necessarily the case. And let me explain why. It depends on your risk tolerance, obviously. So a good advisor needs to position your assets in a way that meets your objectives and your risk tolerance. And the fact of the matter is that people don't really understand their own risk tolerance until they're put in situations where the market starts to behave badly. Oftentimes, what I've noticed is clients will answer risk questionnaires in a way that indicates they want high returns when the markets are doing well. And when markets are doing poorly, they answer risk questionnaires in ways that indicates they want no risk and are willing to earn lower returns. So as a result of that, observing that many people don't really fully understand their own risk tolerance, the way I approach it is we do a retirement analysis for all of our clients at the beginning. Like when they first become clients, we figure out, okay, well, your age is this, you're already retired, or you want to retire in a few more years, or whatever the case may be. And so we figure out what's the rate of return that we need the portfolio to achieve to make sure that the assets last throughout their lifetime at the income that they want to live at, right? Because that's what it's all about in the end, is living at the desired lifestyle that you want to live in retirement while ensuring that your assets won't run out. And then that leads to what's called a target rate of return. So obviously, the younger you retire and the fewer assets you retire with, depending on how high your standard of living is, that leads to a higher target rate of return. The more assets you have, the older you are, or the lower standard of living you're willing to live at, all those things would lead to a lower target rate of return. So the higher the target return, the higher the risk. The lower the target return, the lower the risk. And so what we do, knowing that clients oftentimes don't fully understand their own risk tolerance, we show them, okay, here's your target return based on what you've told us you want to happen. Here's the level of risk that you're going to have to take to get that target rate of return. In other words, we're quantifying how much risk they need to take for a given return. My philosophy is only take the risk you need to take to achieve the outcome you want to achieve. And so we're able to quantify how much risk they're taking using certain hedging strategies, tactical strategies, high probability option strategies, indexed annuities, kind of a combination of all those things working together, because each of those strategies are non-correlated. They don't do the same thing at the same time. They each mitigate risk in different ways. And so when you put them together in different percentages, you can know what the maximum portfolio drawdown is likely to be. And obviously, if you use more of the conservative vehicle and less of the aggressive vehicles, you're going to have a lower portfolio risk and a lower return, and vice versa. So we help the client first figure out what do they need the money to do, then how much risk are they going to need to take to achieve that outcome. Then how does all that relate to how good of a job the advisor is doing? Well, is the portfolio achieving the average result or the average return that we told our clients that they would achieve? If it's not, then why not? You know, what kind of adjustments do we need to make? Do we need to move a little bit more to the aggressive side, move a little bit more to the conservative side? And so we keep our clients on track by doing quarterly reviews. That's another way that you can judge your advisor. You know, are they reviewing with you regularly, or was the last time you saw the guy or gal when they set the accounts up for you? So we do regular quarterly reviews with all our clients. We show them the max risk that they're taking for a given portfolio outcome, and then we meet regularly to make sure that we're achieving those outcomes.
Great answer, and I think it's a great question, Woody. A lot of people kind of wonder how they can grade their current advisor and whether or not they should get a second opinion on things, and I think it's always worthwhile to get a second opinion of your financial plan. And if you'd like to do that, reach out to David Lee, Kyle Alexander, and the team at Mach 1 by calling 479-876-2100, and you can set up that time to meet. You can also visit them online, mach-1financial.com, the place to go there. We mentioned this is part two of how couples screw up retirement, so let's jump in to the next way that we often see couples kind of making the wrong decisions when they get to retirement. And I think this one comes down to really not even a financial discussion, David. It's when they don't really talk about what they're going to do with all the extra time before they actually reach that retirement date. And even though it's not a financial question, I know this is something that you probably guide people through.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's critically important not only to know what you're retiring from, but what you're retiring to. And what we mean by that is, you know, what do you guys want to do post-retirement? Do you want to be more involved in your church? Do you want to golf every day? Do you want to garden every day? What is it that you want to retire to? And it is important to have a plan. You've heard the old saying, you know, failing to plan is planning to fail. So you got to know what you're retiring to, not just what you're retiring from. So make sure that you have a discussion with each other and talk about what your aspirations are in retirement. I think that's very important to lead to a good quality of life post-retirement, because let's face it, if you just sit around in your easy chair and watch a bunch of TV post-retirement, the fact of the matter is you're probably going to die too young doing that, because our bodies atrophy and wear out if we don't use them. So have a plan to be active, have a plan to stay engaged, have a plan to contribute in whatever way you want to do, but also have a plan of what you want to do for fun, traveling, golfing, gardening, whatever it may be. It is very important. Might sound too simplistic, might sound like an obvious answer to many, but you'd be surprised that there are a lot of people who go into retirement not really having a plan, and what they end up doing in those situations where they fail to plan is they end up going back to work just because they feel lack of connection to society and lack of fulfillment in their lives. So don't let that happen to you. Make sure you have a discussion about what you want to do post-retirement.
Great point. And that's, again, yet another way couples mess up retirement, when they don't have that, you know, same page mentality when it comes to what they're going to do with their free time. Back to the financial issues, though, not coordinating your individual retirement accounts like 401ks and IRAs to be sure that the combined assets are actually working together. I guess you could have competing ideals or maybe overlapping goals if you're not coordinating those together, right?
Yeah, great point. I kind of alluded to this in the question that we had to lead off the show from Woody there in Centerton. I talked about how we want to use non-correlating strategies. Each strategy mitigates or reduces risk in a unique way and in a way that's different from the other strategies. Well, if you have everything mitigating risk in the same way, in other words, if your IRA and her IRA or Roth or whatever, if your various investment accounts are essentially invested the same way and are highly correlated, then when something bad happens, it's going to affect all the accounts negatively all at the same time and could potentially lead to very large losses. We don't want that to happen. So we want to make sure that the different retirement accounts, the different investment accounts, are working together in a coordinated way. That's also part of what we do when we put together these retirement plans for folks. So his IRA might be in an indexed annuity. Her IRA might be in a hedged equity strategy. The Roth IRA might be in a high probability options trading strategy. His Roth IRA might be in a tactical dividend stock investment strategy. Each of those four things that I just mentioned right there are all non-correlating investment strategies that mitigate risk in different ways. And when you have them all working together across those different accounts, whether they be, you know, the husbands or the wives or whatever, by having all those working together in one portfolio, which is how we view it. We don't necessarily view it as his and hers, unless, you know, there are some households that want us to view it that way. And in those situations, we have to do things a little differently. But for most people, you know, we view the household assets as one big account, whether it's in his name or her name or whatever. And we make sure that the assets are coordinating with each other in a non-correlating way.
And last but not least, David, let's hit one last point here to wrap up our conversation in part two of how couples screw up retirement is when they don't manage risk in a way that both spouses are comfortable with. I guess the common consequence of that is that one spouse always ends up nervous.
Absolutely. And this also kind of dovetails nicely with what I just talked about how, let's say this is fairly typically what I see. Let's say that the wife in the marriage is the more conservative, the husband is more aggressive. Well, then we might have the most conservative vehicle in her IRA or Roth IRA. In other words, we might have the annuity portion, which is the most conservative account, be owned by her IRA. That helps give her peace of mind. And maybe the more aggressive strategy, such as our high probability option strategy, be in the husband's Roth IRA, as a quick example. So yeah, it's very important that the spouses are working together and that they're comfortable with the combined portfolio risk. You know, I talked about risk questionnaires earlier and how, you know, different people will answer risk questionnaires differently. I even see this very commonly between married couples. So the husband will answer the risk questionnaire one way, the wife a totally different way. And many times they're on opposite ends of the spectrum where she wants to be very conservative, he wants to be very aggressive, or vice versa. So we have to mix that into the plan. And the great thing is, you know, when we come up with a retirement analysis for folks and a proposal, the proposal ends up showing them, here's the maximum drawdown potential that the portfolio has. And I end up asking them, are you comfortable with that? You know, Mrs. Smith, are you comfortable with that, Mr. Smith? And I keep working with them until we make sure that they both feel comfortable with the risk and reward they're taking, because it is important that they be on the same team.
Yep, always important to make sure that that is the case. So bottom line, if you're a couple, and even if you're single, I mean, a lot of this same advice can still apply to you, and you want to make sure you're on the same page, you want to make sure you have a plan in place that's built to last, pick up the phone, call David Lee, Kyle Alexander, and the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. 479-876-2100 is the number. That's 479-876-2100. Get on the calendar for a review of your financial plan. 479-876-2100, and always online at mach-1financial.com. David, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you again on a future podcast.
Enjoyed it, Walter. Look forward to next time.
Sounds good. Again, this has been the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Investment advisory services are offered through Coppell Advisory Solutions, LLC, doing business as Fusion Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. SEC registration is not an endorsement of the firm by the commission and does not mean that the advisor has attained a specific level of skill or ability.